John Cole Scott of Closed-End Fund Advisors is here. We're digging into what his data says about corporate actions in closed-end funds. Now, on The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization representing all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. And if you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator will point you in the right direction. Returning to The Navigator today, John Cole Scott, president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. And we're about to dig into the firm's data, which you can do for yourself at cefdata.com. John is also chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, and you can learn about that online at aicalliance.org. John Cole Scott, great to chat with you again.
Great to be here, Chuck.
We're talking about corporate actions, and I'm really glad we're doing it now because there are more of these actions than ever. And among the investors touched by them, well, me. I recently received a tender offer on a BlackRock fund that I've owned for a long time. So let's start by talking about what has been happening with tender offers.
Yes, yeah, so as you know, CEF data is 12 and a half years old. And since its inception, we've tracked pretty much everything we can think of. And that includes the 178 unique tenders in those 12 and a half years. The total is about $10.3 billion in funds offered for tendering, averages about $60 million each time. Historically, the average amount offered is about 18% of the shares. Most commonly, it's between 10 and 25. That's the historical average. But the cool thing is, because most investors and even most financial advisors we talk with don't actually tender their shares. I hear you barely were able to for yours. The average acceptance is 46%. That's a 2.5% extra shares just for remembering to do something that comes into your email or mailbox. And the average tender is about 98% of NAV. And the past 12 months, it's been 98.5% of NAV. And if you look at discounts, because that's really the closing fundedness that we always talk about on this podcast most times, 90 days before the announcement, those 178 had an average 11 discount. One day prior to the announcement, it was a 10 discount, which tells me very little leakage for the idea of happening in the market. One day after, a 9 discount, so a little movement. But one day prior to expiration, it closes again to just about 7.9% on average. That's a 3% discount tailwind if you overweight funds that might or could do tenders. And if you oversubscribe, it's about a 4.1 tendering alpha. So just by stacking the deck in your favor for tenders, there's a 7% discount tailwind. You're never going to get them all, but it's a great opportunity to put some good funds, extra performance in your portfolio.
Yes. And in my case, I tendered my shares, but the offer from BlackRock, which put tender offers out on a number of its funds, was oversubscribed. So only about 20% of the shares I tendered actually were sold in this deal.
But they offered 5.
They did. They said they would repurchase up to 5% of all outstanding shares, and they oversubscribed it. So I still own the fund, but I turned a quick little profit on the shares I sold. And the hope would be for me that they're going to do more of these. But is there a reason why advisors or investors would not take a tender offer? I mean, I know in my case, I almost missed it simply because I hadn't looked at my portfolio to see messages about it. I saw it and I acted quickly. But is there a reason why someone who hears about a tender offer might sit out an opportunity like this?
So a lot of advisors use closed-end funds, you know, 5 to 10%, maybe 15 if you're lucky in their portfolios. It's just one of the many things they do. It does take some work to focus and say yes to almost all tenders all the time, which we do at CEF Advisors for our clients. And it's one of those little things where even investors with $7+ million in the portfolio, I look at their funds, go, did you tender the shares? They go, oh no, well, you know, we like the fund, so why deal with the change? You know, I like it. It's going to be up eventually. I'm like, yes, but there's structural tailwind here. It's probably because it's really not, of course, in open-end funds. It's not in ETFs. Maybe if you're an operating company investor, you might be used to tenders, but there it's much more aggressive activism, and it's usually a much different outcome than these slivers of tailwind alpha.
You mentioned open-ending. That's the next kind of corporate action we need to talk about in closed-end funds, because there have been liquidations and also, increasingly, some open-endings.
Yeah, so the same 12.5 year time period, we launched CF Data back on 12/31/11, exactly 117 open endings or liquidations, basically an ETF open end fund or liquidation event. 90 days prior, through this 12.5 year history, it's an average 8.5 discount. 1 day prior is a 5.6% discount, which tells you there is either anticipation or potentially leakage in the market. 1 day after, it narrows again to a 2 discount. And then 7 days after, we get to about the lightest discount historically, about 1.5. What that means is just by loading your deck again, and we don't like funds to go away, but if you overload your deck and discount in funds, you're more likely to end up with tenders and liquidations because of activism or just frustration from the fund sponsor. That's another 7% alpha opportunity, and 40% is before the announcement. It goes back to another reason why us and many other focused firms lean into discounts. You're not going to get an open ending or a liquidation or a tender, in my experience, when you're trading 2 points off of NAV or a 3 premium, because there's no math that would make that plausible.
As with tender offers for you, if there's a notice about liquidation or open ending, do you stick with the fund to the bitter end to catch it? Or do you sometimes say, you know, they just announced it, I'm going to take the immediate pop that's likely, but I'm not going to ride it out all the way?
So I'll speak to a recent one. You know, the FEI and other funds managed by First Trust, most of them converted into one ETF. So the same manager, it's a manager that spoke at our conference back in 19, did a great job. And so we decided for most of the investors to just hold on for liquidation because we were keeping the NAV. We would eventually lose the leverage and lose the potential discount downside. And for all but one client driven by the advisor and their tax situation, we sold everyone out of that liquidation and merged them into additional teens discounts and MLP funds to potentially do it again. And wouldn't you know it, about a month or so later, maybe 2 months, a tortoise basket of funds also announced ETF conversions. And we've been able to ride that forward for some investors again. And we don't think it'll happen a third time this year, but you know what? We'll take our chances.
Let's move from liquidations and open endings to rights offerings.
So rights offerings are something that we recognize happen, and we usually try to talk fund sponsors if they share the opportunity to reach out to us to do less dilutive rights offerings, which is less painful to the current shareholders that own the stock. But 90 days before a rights offering, there's 127 in our database, an average 6.7 premium for those that issued rights. At the expiration of the rights, it's a negative 4.7 discount. And then 90 days after, it trades at just slightly above net asset value of the expiration. But what that does mean is if you buy and hold rights offerings, if you don't oversubscribe, if you don't trade around the risk, then you have 11% average negative alpha. And if you were to rotate out, get back in, and maybe be lucky as you tend to, you can maybe get even 5% reversion to being back up. So this requires to be a little bit more trading, thoughtful, focused, and organized to step into these opportunities.
Yeah, unlike a tender offer, which is pretty much always good news, a rights offering could convince you that if you don't get out now, you're going to wind up taking at least a temporary haircut and then have to wait and hope for the fund to come back.
Again, another reason to try to avoid either fund sponsors to often do rights offerings, usually seasonally, if you look at the calendar of their history, or generally speaking, more likely at narrow discounts or premiums. If you tend to avoid those funds, there is less rights risk in your portfolio.
Now, as much as it's possible to miss a tender offer or a rights offering or sit it out, the one thing every closed-end fund investor notices is a big change in dividends. And you've tracked a lot of those, both working for and against shareholders.
Yeah, so we looked at dividend changes. I use a 10% cutoff this time. In the last 12.5 years, there's 1,075 dividend downsides over 10%. The average cut was just over 20%. And 90 days before that announcement, the average fund in that group over the 12.5 years was a 3.8 discount. 1 day before, a 5.2 discount, which means either some sense of it or some leakage, both can happen. 1 day after, a 6.3 discount. 90 days after, an 8.2 discount. So what that means is a negative 4 and mid-change negative alpha to experience a dividend cut. Again, another reason to be overweighted funds with more conservative policies based on the ecosystem, and just able to decide if you like the manager and the dividend was too high, get back in if there's a dividend cut. Or there's 415 funds, you don't have to own all of them, you can be selective and have a good diversified portfolio and reduce some of these risks as well.
What about dividend increases?
So there's been less of those. The 10% increase is 799 at CEF data, and the average increase is about 23%. 30 days before, there's a 10 discount. One day before the downspin, only a 9.8 discount, which suggests people weren't expecting it. 90 days after, a 7.8 discount, so only a 2% alpha. This opportunity to talk about these alphas are helpful. The one good thing for your listeners and most advisors is these over dividend increases, when they're too big, are democratized tenders at less cost closer to NAV. It's worse for my clients and other clients at Focus because we love to do the tenders and we get those extra shares. But everyone receives the additional payout on these overpaying funds right now when they increase their dividends. Got to be thoughtful on living off that money, but it is a powerful tailwind to help make the portfolio. Remember, closed-end funds average 8% a year over time, just like the U.S. stock market. Depends on when you measure over 30, 40 years. You got to use these tailwinds to be thoughtful and make a little bit more money without taking extra risk, in our experience.
And that's really where your data helps, folks. You get this stuff, you're not sure what to do, here's the skinny. Tender offers, the advice is to take them. Liquidations, get what you can out of them, whether you ride them all the way to the end or not. Rights offerings could be a sign that maybe you're going to be diluted or have some trouble. And big dividend changes, the direction they're moving determines how you respond. Is that a pretty good sum up? Determine what you do next, right? Is that a pretty good sum up?
That's pretty good. And as you might imagine, we have a giant spreadsheet. We sell institutional investors that organize this 1,000 ways a Sunday so they can do their own pre, post, and decision-making around these things, which we do for our clients. And really helps us understand perspective broader than we ever have before with the ability to cull and focus on the data that we collect.
Well, thanks for helping us focus on the data so that it can help us with the way we manage our closed-end fund holdings. John, great stuff. We'll talk with you again soon.
Great being here, and exactly why we do The Navigator, to educate your listeners further.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And I am Chuck Jaffe. And you can learn more about my hour-long weekday podcast by going to moneylifeshow.com or by searching for it wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Now, if closed-end funds, business development companies, and interval funds could be your favorite investments, you might want to check out AICAlliance.org. It's the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, which is on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott, president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, and the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. His firm is online at cefadvisors.com, and you can dig into the data he was talking about and what he uses by going to cefdata.com to check it out for yourself. By the way, John is on X or Twitter, at John Cole Scott. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Make sure you don't miss an episode by following along or subscribing on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week with more closed-end fun talk. Happy Labor Day, everybody, and happy investing.